One of country music's top stars is facing consequences after he was filmed using a racial slur. Morgan Wallen, whose latest album had spent the last 3 weeks at the top of the Billboard chart, had his record deal suspended, his songs pulled from several major radio outlets, and was called out by some fellow country artists. Wallen apologized for his language. There was a sharp drop in airplay since the incident, but Billboard reports that sales of his music are up more than 300%. Two country fans and journalists join us now. They each wrote on the website Medium about the topic, saying it's time for the industry to break its pattern of excusing racist behavior and that it could connect with a much wider fan base in the process. You can join in at 800-642-1234 if you're following this, if you're a country fan. What do you think of the music industry's response to the Morgan Wallen incident? Have you worried that the genre feels unwelcoming to would-be fans because of their race? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Marcus K. Dowling is a freelance journalist covering country music. Marcus, welcome to Central Time. And Jeremy Helliger is a journalist covering entertainment and politics and an author whose books include Storms in Africa, A Year in the Motherland. Jeremy, thanks for joining us.
Hello, how are you?
Good. Well, Jeremy, let's start with you. You write that you love country music. Before we get into this particular Morgan Wallen incident, you feel like you are treated as an outsider, but you don't look like people expect country music fans to look. Can you share some of that experience with us?
Well, I think it's the fact that I'm black, and when people see me, they probably expect me to like R&B and rap music, which I do, but I also grew up with country music. And, you know, I've done a lot of interviews with country music singers, and I've covered country music, and I have had the reaction from people who treated me like I was kind of an anomaly. It's not so much that they don't allow me to feel welcome, but it's sort of like you always feel a little bit othered because they don't expect you to look like you do and be a country music fan.
And Marcus, looking at this Morgan Wallen incident now, you say that in the past, the country music industry has taken the attitude of, we're not going to stand in the way of a hit. Bad behavior from an artist, especially a white male artist, even if it involves race, we're not going to let that stop us from selling albums and playing records. You're hoping it's different this time. Can you talk about that? I'm not hearing Marcus. We'll see. We're going to get him on another connection. Jeremy, let's throw that to you. What do you think of what you've seen in the music industry, the country music world, in response to this rising star really using a slur?
Well, I think it's interesting because you've had some artists like Mickey Gorton and Maren Morris who have come out and condemned his actions. And they've said that, you know, it's not the first time he's used that slur.
Now I think we've lost Jeremy. Not sure what's going on. Marcus, I think I heard you in the background. Are you there?
Yeah, no problem. I'm right here. So,
excellent.
Insofar as everything since June, so right around the time of the George Floyd incident in Minneapolis, everything that transpired nationally, it impacted country music in the sense that country has traditionally been seen stereotypically as largely a white fan base dominated and white artist dominated genre, almost to a level of near racist proportions. Of course, there's artists like Linda Martell and Charlie Pride, who are historically black artists who have had success in country music, but they are not representative of the full scope of the genre, of course. But what happened with everything that happened since June, leading into in October, when at the Country Music Awards, Maren Morris named six female African-American artists as impactful in her career. And then in December, when Charlie Pride passed away, that really kind of crystallized the moment for country music and also for African-Americans who are fans of and work within the genre to feel that something needed to change, because just the mood and the gravitas of the moment had changed nationally and also within country. So it set a tripwire that essentially if anyone were to engage in or make racist statements or engage in racist behavior, that what would occur is something that would be swift and immediately reactionary, because the time had come to have a reckoning and have a deeper conversation about race.
And Marcus, I think there's an attitude sometimes when we see some of the new artists you were just talking about making breakthroughs in the country music industry, like, aha, now it's the time for black artists. They're finally making inroads in country. You wrote a piece last year that said, in effect, don't call it a breakthrough. They've been here for years. A long history of black musicians, pre-country, in country. They just aren't necessarily recognized by country.
Oh, absolutely. So I think that there's always been a space for black artists in country music. It's been more of a regionalized and less hyped involvement from the mainstream level. But with the advent of streaming, especially with Spotify, the fan base that has come towards country is coming towards country race and genre agnostic. So they are just listening to music for the sake of good music. And then when you listen to so much of country music that is influenced by trap and other hip-hop elements and other rhythm and blues elements, you kind of get this cross-genre slurry effect of sorts that allows for more African-American artists to have an opportunity and for a certain level of equity to exist within the genre. And when it comes to what happened with Morgan Wallen, his sound is influenced by that same sound. So when you're a white artist and you're using black-derived and black-innovated sounds within a genre that has a traditional white fan base but now has a broader potential, then a perfect storm of sorts exists.
And Jeremy, you wrote in your piece on this topic that country music has a history of forgiving some kinds of comments and content and not others. And you see it as kind of a political thing. If you are outspoken on the left politically, you're more likely to be excluded from the country music world. Can you talk about what you've seen over the years?
Well, I think that's because country music is a very conservative genre. It sort of upholds those very conservative values. So Natalie Maines from Dixie Chicks goes on stage in London and criticizes a Republican president, Dixie Chicks end up getting canceled. And, you know, when that happened, it wasn't surprising to me, because I don't think it's so much that you can't be political and be country, but you sort of have to be on the right side of the fence. I remember when Barack Obama was president, Hank Williams Jr., as I mentioned in my piece, said a lot of things negative about Barack Obama, about how he hates hunting and he loves gays and we hate him. And he got away with it. You know, there was a little bit of hoopla, but Hank Williams Jr. didn't really catch a lot of heat for that, because I think he's sort of preaching to the choir, so to speak. And so it's not so much that you can't be political in country music, but you have to be careful what kind of politics you support.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're coming in with Mickey Guyton there, her song Heaven Down Here. We're talking about the world of country music. Jeremy Helliger and Marcus Dowling are with us, journalists and fans of the genre, looking at how the industry can be more welcoming to black artists and fans after high-profile singer Morgan Wallen was filmed using a racial slur last week. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Your thoughts on the story, maybe your experiences in the world of country music. Can we talk some about artists maybe making breakthroughs now, black artists in country music, where they wouldn't have been allowed more high-profile spots? Jeremy, let's throw this at you. Who are you watching?
Well, I think, you know, right now you have, of course, Darius Rucker, who has had a lot of success in country music. Of course, he's probably better known to pop audiences as the lead singer for Hootie and the Blowfish in the 90s. So he sort of had a leg up on the competition because of that. And you also have Kane Brown and Jimmy Allen and, of course, Mickey Guyton,
So we've come a long way from when I was growing up in the 70s listening to Charlie Pride. But I think that the Morgan Wallen incident illustrates that there's still an undercurrent that's kind of hiding in plain sight that's sort of holding country music back.
And Marcus, do you see Nashville and the industry itself saying, okay, yes, there's a black country artist, we're going to promote them, we're going to get them on the radio to the extent they would a comparable white artist?
I'd say that there's a definite dichotomy in the sense that radio is a different animal than video and other manners of gaining mainstream access for artists. I do a lot of work with country music television as well, and recently CMT has done a phenomenal job, and I'm not saying that as a corporate show in any way. I'm saying that because of brass tacks facts. They've been able to platform a greater number of African-American artists just based off of merit alone. As well, with radio, the issue is that radio is traditionally a spot of comfort for a lot of people who live in flyover states and a lot of people in the Deep South. Unfortunately, a lot of those people are not African-American who are listeners to country music radio. Country music radio is around 70-75% of a white listener base. So they like to hear voices that feel familiar to their surroundings, and they like to hear songs that are familiar to their surroundings. Currently in the African-American listener pool of or rather an artist pool, there's a great number of songs that are reflective of a greater deal of more, for lack of a better term, revolutionary fervor, in the sense that people are pushing for progression and civil rights awareness and LGBTQ rights awareness, for instance. And that's something that isn't necessarily going to play well on radio. So you get this lovely dichotomy occurring in Nashville that offers unparalleled potential for the positive progression of this conversation.
Let's bring on a caller now. Dan is with us in Green Bay. Dan, hello.
Hi. I'm a little concerned that this doesn't sound racist in any way, shape, or form, but I was just concentrating. Do you think, you know, the lack of African-American artists in country, you know, if I think of other genres, so is this a genre-based or is it just the, I don't know how I'm trying to ask this, but because if you look at other genres like hip-hop or rap, you don't see a lot of white artists and kind of vice versa across different genres. So my question, I guess, is this a genre thing or just the... people that are in that specific genre.
Dan, thanks for the call. I think, I don't know, Marcus.
Can I jump in?
Sure, go ahead.
Totally. So the main issue here is fascinating when it comes to black artists and country music, is that going back to the days of even Solomon Burke in the early 1960s, there's been an exclusion of black artists from having opportunities to even perform in country music. Solomon Burke's first number one single is a country song. It's a Gene Autry cover. And soon thereafter, because it's very difficult in the 1960s to put black artists on country radio even then, he becomes one of the greatest R&B singers of all time. Al Green did covers of country songs. He covered Willie Nelson. He covered Chris Christopherson, all of that. So there's a historical space where country uniquely has found a way to exclude black artists who have then gone on to other musical spaces and had legendary careers that could have easily have been country careers, easily.
And Jeremy, as I hear the question too, I think of in the genre of rap, you had the Beastie Boys, Vanilla Ice, Eminem, like being, I think, much more welcomed into those genres than the reverse in country. Is that fair, do you think, to say?
Absolutely. That's not... forget that the first female rapper to have a number one single on Billboard's Hot 100 was a white woman from Australia, Iggy Azalea. You know, artists like Justin Timberlake, Justin Bieber, Blue Eyed Soul is an entire industry. I think that whites have been very widely accepted, you know, some people will say that a lot of white artists pillage hip-hop for commercial favor in order to be commercially successful. So I don't think that white artists have been excluded from hip-hop and even rap. Years ago, about 8 years ago, Macklemore and Lewis won, a rap duo won the Best New Artist Grammy over Kendrick Lamar. So I don't think that white artists have been excluded to the same degree that blacks have been excluded from country music.
Marcus, we just have a few moments left. You like country music. I think you're hoping to see these walls break down a little bit. Can you tell us why?
Well, I think that there's a, if we talk about the great need for reparational therapy for America writ large, one of the easiest spaces in which to achieve it, the quickest and with the most significant potential is in country music. The singers and songwriters are there. The historical lineage is there, going through every single musical genre you can imagine. Gospel, blues, R&B, soul, folk, Americana, all has a black root. And being able to open the door to artists that have been historically banished, for lack of a better term, from this space, it just all makes sense. And I think that for a musical crossover, on a musical level, it is logical. And then on a societal level, it's the most impactful of spaces in which to do it.
Marcus, thanks for joining us today.
You're absolutely welcome. Anytime.
Jeremy, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome.
We've been talking to Marcus Dowling and Jeremy Helliger. They're journalists who cover, among other things, country music. They join us to talk about how the country industry is reacting to a top star, Morgan Wallen, being filmed using a racial slur, and what the genre can do to welcome more diverse fans and artists.